Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. And Moscow, Felix Leit, CBS correspondent, to help us understand two stories that are related, but they're discordant. One is about Alexei Navalny, the now imprisoned and condemned rights activist for the people of Russia, a man who has been attacked, alleged poisoned by the security forces, recovered in Germany, and then returned to Russia to face prosecution and now imprisonment for X number of years or months because, well, therein lies a mystery. Felix Leit, very good day to you in Moscow. First, the Navalny affair. It is not only that Mr. Navalny is jailed after his hunger strike ended and his life is said not to be at risk right now, although he's weakened, but the Navalny affair has turned into the Russian Duma moving to outlaw or ban or prevent Navalny's party, Navalny's supporters, from participating. At the same time, the prosecutor's office, I'm reading the news out of Moscow, is said to be investigating Navalny's staff, calling them into the prosecutor's office to answer unclear charges to me about corruption. Is Alexei Navalny a major issue for Vladimir Putin, or is this just around the margins, and I read it here in America? Good day to you, Felix.
Good day to you. It's great to be here. I guess that the answer is probably both. Navalny has a strong base of popular support among perhaps around 20% of the Russian population. So he's not a majority kind of figure. A majority of Russians probably would not elect him president tomorrow if they could. But he is without a doubt the most powerful and most influential critic of Vladimir Putin's regime, certainly in the last 10 years. He's really dominated the opposition. And as you said, this kind of move of the sort of Navalny affair into the Russian Duma is really targeted at sort of neutralizing his movement. So a couple of weeks ago, a Russian prosecutor had Navalny's organization designated as extremist. And in Russian law, extremist is a term kind of akin to terrorist. So extremist groups include sort of like ISIS and the Taliban. So Navalny's organizations are actually prohibited in exactly the same way as they are now. What they're doing now is introducing sort of formal legal obstacles to stop anyone who's been associated with a sort of a Navalny organization or a Navalny campaign from running for elected office in Russia in the future. And the real big sort of elephant in the room for them now is that in September, there will be elections to Russia's national parliament. And it's certainly not impossible that the incumbent party, the party of Vladimir Putin, could do very badly because the economy is poor. There's obviously the pandemic. There are a number of corruption scandals. And Navalny's movement was potentially very well placed to take advantage of that. So what they're doing now is sort of trying to stop that from happening, to sort of clearing the field ahead of the elections to prevent any sort of nasty surprises taking place for Vladimir Putin.
What is a puzzle, Felix, is the old rule in America, and I know it's in the United Kingdom as well, never punch down, only punch up.
Uh-huh.
And the persecution of Navalny personally and his movement generally not only by prosecutors' offices, but there are these photographs of an enormous number of very big men with black helmets on who are out to round up Navalny's few supporters in the streets of Moscow during the wintertime. It's odd. It elevates them to become a global concern. Is that the intention, to make them a face-to-face with Putin's party?
I think it's certainly not the intention, but you're right. It has sort of been the effect of what's happened. So, you know, Navalny has been sort of in and out of the news, certainly in Russia and to some extent in the West for a few years now. But to be honest, though he was always the big sort of opponent of Putin's regime, he was sort of tolerated for a long time. He'd be sort of in and out of jail for a week here or, you know, 2 weeks there. But they never really went after him to try and destroy him. And that really has happened. They've sort of identified him as the major sort of target, the major enemy. And they're pursuing them ruthlessly. You know, I was obviously as a journalist at all those demonstrations in the winter. And yeah, you know, it was the sort of the violence that the Russian riot police were dealing out to those protesters was vicious, you know, it has kept the Navalny sort of story in the headlines, especially internationally. And it's sort of really, I guess kind of done wonders for Navalny's reputation almost. You know, he's sort of become the, you know, even from prison, he's become the sort of premier opponent. And it's hard to see him sort of fading from that status anytime soon.
It's also impossible not to think I'm reading a Dostoevsky novel in the 21st century. So let's move over to the governmental level. We're told that in these last days and hours, the Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, and the Foreign Secretary of the Russian Federation, Mr. Lavrov, Sergei Lavrov, in conversation about a potential meeting between President Putin and the new President Biden. This after the President Biden used the word killer directed towards Mr. Putin. One, this summit, what does Russia want in a meeting with the United States? And two, there are sanctions upon Russia because of the Navalny affair. Do those sanctions play a part in this potential summit? Potential, because it's not fixed in any way, Felix.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of questions there, but I suppose what Russia wants is sort of a recognition that it sort of matters in the world. It wants America to sort of take it seriously. It wants, you know, if there's a sort of a question in the Middle East or in Ukraine or in Europe, it wants its opinion to be heard by the United States or by Europe. So that's its kind of main priority there. But this summit, I think, will be sort of about trying to stop the really quite dramatic decline in relations in the last few months. So sort of there was of course the killer remark from Joe Biden, but there was also the expulsion by the Russian side of U.S. diplomats. The U.S. embassy in Moscow is really down to a skeleton staff right now. And I actually don't think either side really wants relations to get much worse than they are now. And I think both sides would be keen, if it can be done on their terms, to sort of improve the situation a bit. So we'll be seeing what happens there. In terms of what Russia wants from this summit, I would say they also want a recognition, and this applies to the sanctions question that you raised. Russia wants to make the Navalny case, shall we say, an exclusively internal matter. They don't think that the U.S. has a right to talk about Navalny. You know, from the, shall we say, dubious point of view of the Russian official, the Navalny matter is simply a criminal case. He's in prison ostensibly for fraud, although everyone knows that's not a legitimate basis for what has happened to him, shall we say. So the Russian side will be looking from that for the U.S. to sort of disavow Navalny as a sort of an element in relations. It really remains to be seen whether that can happen because, as I said before, you know, the Navalny case has achieved such a kind of resonance and sort of a grasp, you know, even in Europe and in America. So even though, you know, one would hope that a summit could sort of improve relations a little bit, there are an enormous number of sort of issues that it's hard to see how they're sort of solved by sort of Lavrov and Blinken meeting personally.
We have a couple of minutes, and in between where I am in the United States and where you are in Moscow is Europe. Mm-hmm. And now and again, yep. I think, does Europe have an opinion in this, particularly because Boris Johnson's government has to deal with the lingering doubts about Novichok being used against UK citizens and Novichok used against Navalny. Does Europe have a voice in this potential meeting? We have about a minute. Go ahead, Felix.
Well, so I think the UK tends to follow the American line. You know, there's a lot more sort of a hostile attitude towards Russia, quite possibly related to the case of the Skripals and Novichok use in the UK. The EU is a bit more sort of hedging its bets. I think they realize that for them, they need to sort of get on with Russia. They do border Russia, and, you know, you need to have a sort of a way of getting on with your neighbors to at least, you know, some kind of basic degree. So I think it sort of varies depending on where you are in Europe.
Felix Lai, reporting for CBS News. He's in Moscow, and right now the Navalny affair can dominate headlines in English. It is unclear whether it dominates headlines in Russia, but going forward, there is now a prosecutor's attempt to suppress not only the movement, but also the staff associated with Alexei Navalny. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables, bright-eyed berry or up and apple flavors.
Bright-eyed berries got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.